I've avoided it all these years.
I'm sorry.
You got $229.
In the black book.
I guess he would.
What is it?
You got a confession, like, I hear next to my car. This might be bad. I want all of these, I saw.
$229 and then.
Oh, God, right. $229. All land versus.
Came number $229. Take it away.
Thank you. song for a time when everything just continues to go like this. You know, that God reigns. And in our Sunday school class, we're going through the book of Revelation and read this morning that there was angels and they had the seven last plagues. And you get to that point and you're thinking, man, we've already seen so much and there's seven plagues left to go. One of those vials that are poured out, there was a great sickness that went over the whole earth. But the people that had not taken the mark of the beast was not affected by that sickness. And I thought, all the way in all of that chaos, it's the end of the world, governments have fallen apart, the rapture's already happened, the beast is now got his kingdom set up, you can't buy or sell without that mark. And here's this group of people, they're hiding in burned out buildings and in basements, and they have to sneak around for food. And all of a sudden, this plague comes, and people are dying everywhere, but they don't get it. Because God's protecting them. And even in that chaos, they can look up and say, God still reigns. And isn't that cool? I just thought about that. Now I would not take the chance of going through that to get to that part. But for those people, there's going to be grace and mercy. And God in heaven is going to put his hand on that little group of people that refuse to take that mark. And they're not, the effects of that plague aren't going to affect them. Well, we're not in that time in the world for sure, but I can tell you this, no matter what goes on out there, God still reigns, and he's in control of that. There are some of our folks that are home either quarantining or some that have it. So let's just pray. And I tell you this, Thanksgiving's coming up. You know, God, during this time, each person has to make up their mind, I guess, what they're going to do. But I tell you this. You know how precious life is? Jesus died for it.
Amen.
Right? And that's all I'll tell you. You know, don't miss an opportunity, you know, to let this world take that from us. We may have to be creative of how you do it, but you don't have to let him take it away from you. You know, so I don't have any other announcement. Tonight, I'll tell you this. Brother Jake, wave at us. Brother Jake is going to be preaching this evening. So come out and support him. He did that last year a few times and really enjoyed hearing him. I'm looking forward to hearing what God laid on his heart for tonight. And I'm going to tell you something that's odd even there. Invite somebody. We got room. We can spread out still. You know, invite somebody. Let them know that Jake's going to be preaching tonight. And I think that's all that I have, right? Yes. Christmas play practice at 4 o'clock. If you know some kids that aren't here and maybe want to participate in that, if you'll get the word out for that this evening. Okay.
All right, if everybody please stand, our congregational hymn is How Great Thou Art. If our brother deacons will come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Matt, would you ask a blessing and offering, please?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're just going to jump right in here. Matthew chapter 12. I was just talking to Chris a minute ago. Something that you see not only in our county, but also Campbell County, and it's always been there, just happens to be happening a little bit more now than it did before, as you're starting to see a lot more suicides. Once you get around the holidays, that number goes up anyways, because people are naturally, can feel if they had lost somebody or relationships not the same as it was a year ago, that's a rough time. But you add COVID on top of that, you just never know if somebody around you, and it happens to people that maybe you would think would never do that. And it's really easy to get into a dark place. Even if you just have ever just thought about it. It's certainly a time to keep an eye out for the people around you and try to be a blessing and encouragement. Man, you know what? I love that song. He still reigns. And therefore, man, life's worth living for him. Amen. No matter what kind of stuff's out there. You pray for this message this morning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being able to come back here. And Lord, thank you, Father, for this church. It's just still plugging ahead. Thank you for each person that came out here today, Lord, that thought it necessary in their life to be here and be around the Word of God. I pray for those that can't be here because they either have COVID or they're quarantining and can't get out, or Lord, they're just not able to go out. And Lord, I just pray you'd watch over them. Lord, I know that there are those that will watch this online. I pray, Lord, you'd be with a message in their hearts as well. Thank you, Father, for the technology to do so. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us with the Word of God this morning. I'm just a human being like everybody else in this room, but we need you. Thank you, Father, for a Bible, which is our authority, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for where we've let you down this week. Lord, I pray that each person here would examine themselves and make sure that their heart is right with you. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We know that if we come to you and confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that and our hearts would be clear before you as we open up your word. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you go with me in Matthew chapter, I said Matthew chapter 12. Why don't you hold that and go to Galatians? We're going to come back to that. I want to go to Galatians first. I'm sorry about that. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to go down to verse 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For brethren, ye have been called, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And it's interesting to know that this is being written to Christians, and he's talking about how that they ought to treat other people. I want you to go down to verse 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another. And we know that began in the Garden of Eden, that conflict, that good versus evil. We've seen it throughout the Bible. You'll see it's your flesh versus your spirit. It'll be light versus darkness. It'll be good versus evil. Okay, so there's always two sides, and there happens to be two beings. You've got the God of heaven, and then you have Satan. And those two entities represent those words. Light belongs to God, and darkness belongs to Satan, and it fights against us. Okay, that there's that turmoil inside of us. When you get saved, before you get saved, there's only one side. When you get saved, the Spirit of living God moves inside of you, but you still live in a flesh that fights against that. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it just, when you think the fruit of the Spirit, well, I can name some fruits. There's apples, there's oranges, there's pears, and I can go on. And when I say that these are what I just read to you, you've heard about the fruits of the Spirit. What I just read to you is the fruits of the flesh, the fruits of darkness, the fruits of the other side. These are the things that are manifested in our flesh. This is what you see when you live your life according to the flesh. These are the things that you look and carry in people's lives to tell whether or not they belong to God or they belong to the devil. When you see these things in somebody's lives, they are the fruit of darkness. Those are the things that happen when you don't, that's what you expect out of somebody who is lost, or that's what you expect out of somebody who is backslidden. You expect these behaviors in their lives. This is what this is the byproduct of yielding to the flesh versus yielding to the Spirit. This is the byproduct of having being under the influence of the world and influence of Satan. If you're following his direction, here's what you can expect in your life. And even a Christian can bear fruits of the flesh. Just like a Christian can bear fruits of the Spirit, a Christian can bear fruits of the flesh. At that moment, these things can be in our lives, and it's because we are yielding to the flesh instead of God. And when you do, the fruit changes. Now, if you're not saved, this is what you've got, period. Okay? When you are saved, you know, in the Spirit of living God lives inside of you, you can have the fruits of the Spirit. A lost person can't have the fruits of the Spirit because there's no Spirit in them. Okay? You know, now, can a lost person be nice? Yes. But it's not the Spirit, it's not doing that in them, because there's no Spirit in them. They don't belong to him, all right? So we just read to you all the fruits of the darkness, and we just went through that list. Go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I just read you a list. Here's what happened when the Holy Spirit moves into my life and I'm under that influence and I'm following him. These are the things that you would expect to be in a Christian's life. You expect them to be kind. You expect them to be gentle. You expect them to love. You expect them to, you expect these things to be there because that's the byproduct of listening to God. If you're listening to God and you're following after God, this is the influence that you're under. That influence takes root in your life and it bears fruit. When you're under the influence of the world, it takes root in your life and you bear that fruit, okay? And we're going to see it again, if you go to Ephesians, which is just right after that, chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8 kind of rewords the same thing I just told you. It says this, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. All right, so there was a time in your life before God where you were in darkness, but now are ye in the light. You notice the two different sides here. The darkness represents Satan and the light represents God. Okay, for ye sometimes but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And it says, listen, don't allow those influences in your life. Not only should you not allow them, you should also stand up against them, and you should reprove them. You should preach about it. You should talk about it. You should be against the things that the world is for. You should be against the fruits of the flesh. All right, we should stand against that, warn people about the influence of that, okay, because it's destructive. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all these things that are reproved are manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So you have this two contrasts. Again, you got darkness and you got light. You got the fruits of the flesh and you got the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I want you to hang on to that, and I want you to go to Matthew chapter 12, okay? And you're going to have to stay with me so that this all makes sense at the end. Matthew chapter 12, and I want to go down to verse 43. Now, he's talking in verse, let's go to verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He's talking to them and he's saying, listen, Nineveh repented because of Jonah, and you're not repenting. You're rejecting me. There's a greater Jonah here now. And he said, in that day of judgment, it's going to be harder on you than it is on Nineveh because they listened to me. And he goes on and he repeats that again in verse 42. And then he kind of wants to explain what he's talking about in verse 43. Okay, and when he does, he opens up a window to kind of let us know what it's like in the demonic world, all right? And he's using this as an example to say, okay, you know, you start out here and you have the truth and you reject the truth, and it's actually going to get worse for you because you've done that, and he explains it with this story. But when he tells you this story, it opens a little window to let us understand a little bit more about about Satan and how he works, how his demons work, and how the influence works so that we can make sure it's not in our life. All right, watch this as he talks about this. Verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Notice that this was an unclean spirit. He's in a man, and when he leaves that man, he has to find some place to go. And we know that's true because remember when they came out of the maniac of Gadara, they needed some place to go. So these demons, in order to influence in the world that we live, they have to have some place to take up residence. All right? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God can speak to you? Yes or no? If you believe that, give me an amen. Okay? Here's the next question. If God can speak to you, do you have to listen to him? No, he can speak to you. Do you agree with me with that? But do you have to listen to him? All right, can you disobey him? Even though he tells you this is what you want, can you reject him? Absolutely. Now, think about this. If God can speak to you, question is, can the devil speak to you? Okay? Now, if the devil speaks to you, do you believe that? The devil can speak to you even though you don't want him to. He can speak to you. And when he speaks to you, do you know you can do the same thing to him that you can do to God? You can reject him. Is that not cool? I mean, he can speak to you. He can influence you. Remember, light, darkness, there's something much bigger than us out there. There's a reason why Satan showed up in that garden and took residence in that snake, because he wants to overthrow God. Listen, you cannot separate that from what we believe. We believe this is a much bigger picture. You have a being out there that was created by God that wants to become God. And you think losing this election's bad, you lose that one? Things happen that you don't want to happen. And praise God, my king can't get voted out, amen. He's on the throne forever. Amen. Okay, but understand, there is a being out there that wants to overthrow him. Right? Whether you have to believe that or else the rest of this makes no sense. Okay? And that being can influence. So he's talking about this, that when a demon leaves a person and he walks around, And he's looking someplace to find rest, and he can't find any place to rest. So then he goes back, and he gets seven spirits that are worse than him. Well, that's great. They come in different sizes. They come in bad and really bad. You know, I don't want any of them hanging around me, right? But according to this, that there's some that have certain power and influence, and there are some that are stronger and more capable. And so he brings them with him, and they go inside that man, and that man is worse now than he was in the beginning. Now you say, now what's it got to do with this message? Here's what I want you to think about as we go a little bit further. So you've got the fruits of the Spirit, okay? So how do I get the fruits of the Spirit? I follow after God. Okay, and if I follow after God, if I'm walking with God, these are the things that are going to come out of me. God is love, so love's going to have to come out of me. God is a forgiving God, so forgiveness has got to come out of me. It's being under his influence, all right, takes root in my life. As his influence takes root in my life, that tree begins to grow and I begin to bear fruit of the person that I'm hanging around. I become like him. That's the end product, right? I'm becoming like him. So the influences in my life, the things I listen to, being around the Word of God, the things that I read, the friends that I choose to have, all of those elements are elements that influence me, if they're the right influence, towards the fruits of the Spirit. I'm under that influence. That influence is working in my life. It's changing who I am, okay? There has to be a change going on in everybody in this room that's a born-again Christian, because that's what he does, all right? He saves you to bear fruit. What's that fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Well, Satan's out there, and he wants you to bear his fruit. So when he comes around, he's going to bring his influences. Now, when he comes and comes our way, you do not have to let that influence in. You can tell him no. You can reject his thoughts. You can reject his fruit. You do not have to let that seed go. Now look, I'm going to prove it to you. Those demons left him. That one demon left that guy, and what did he do? He's looking someplace to go. What if that demon were to show up in this church this morning? He just left the guy he was in. Let's say he gets cast out. Now he's a free agent, right, and go wherever he wants to go. And he's looking where to go, and he comes by Jenny. He says, I might as well start there. I've been outside of a body for a long time. I've got to find some place to rest, because that's where it says. I'm not making that up. He leaves that person. He finds some place to rest, because in order to be who he is, he has to have a place. So he comes by Jenny, and man, Jenny's singing songs about God. Jenny got up and she read her Bible that morning. Yeah, Jenny had a good prayer time and said, God, forgive me. And she's communing with God, and that demon says, can't hang around here. This place is toxic to me. She's a Christian. She's not going to listen to me. And then she goes out by Sean. And then here's Sean. You know, he's walking the way he's supposed to walk. He's guarding his thoughts. He's guarding what he says. He's guarding what he do. He's spending time praying. He's close to God. And that demon says, hey, I can't take up residence. The influence isn't going to be wanted. And he's going. Wouldn't it be great if that spirit were to walk in this room out that door and go out that door, because there's no place for him to rest. There's no place where he can begin to influence, because you're going to tell him no, and you're going to tell him no, and you're going to tell him no, and you're going to tell him no. Wouldn't it be great for him to walk in that door and walk out that door and say, hey, don't even bother in that place. Don't even bother. There's no place to rest in there. Those people are going to tell you no. Though you do not have to listen to them. But may I tell you, everyday Christians some bear the fruits of the flesh, because we allow that influence into our life. You know, the fruits of the flesh that manifest itself, those spirits that, listen, I promise you this. I promise you that God is never going to tell you to give up on your marriage. Never. He will never tell you to do that. He will never tell you there's no hope. He will never tell you there's no hope for your kids. He will never tell you that you know, you're just stuck the way you are. He would never tell you, well, you're just going to have to live with this because there's no fixing it. You know, that's not where he lives. When we hear things in our mind, when we have influence, do you know what? God's not going to make you angry. God's Spirit's never going to make you bitter. So when we're bitter, guess what happened? The influence of the dark side has found a place to take root in my life. I am now, if I'm bitter against you, it's because I am now manifesting the fruits of the flesh. I'm allowing that influence in my life to cause me to be bitter. If I am unforgiving, it's because of that very same thing. If I am fearful, it's because of that very same thing. If I doubt, do you think God's up there? Is God a God of doubt? Is God a what do we do? What am I going to do? Is God a God of worry? No. When you worry, is that a fruit of the Spirit? No, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. If you're afraid, is that a fruit of the Spirit? If you're angry, is that a fruit of the Spirit? Okay, if you're unforgiving, what if selfishness, is that a fruit of the Spirit? You know what you're not going to find in God is selfishness. Doesn't exist. When a man puts something else above his family than he should, you know what he's doing? He's manifesting the fruits of the flesh, not the fruit. At that moment, do you see, did Satan possess Eve in the Garden of Eden? He didn't possess her body. What he did, because she was perfect at that time. There's no, he couldn't go in there. But what he did is he influenced and she listened. What he did was he found a place where he could rest. He found an ear that would listen. When he went over there, he found somebody, and she took the bait. And at that moment, what you saw when she ate that fruit, that was nothing but pure selfishness. She wanted that wisdom for, so that was pure self. And what you had was the fruit of the flesh right there. But you know what she could have said to them? She could have said no. She could have said, I'm not eating that. Do you think Eve had to eat that fruit? Mm-mm. No. She could have said no. Now, when I read that when a demon leaves somebody, he seeks some place to rest, and he had to go back because there was no room for him to rest, I thought, wouldn't that be an awesome thought in your home? Go home and have a home where there's no place for an evil spirit to rest in your home, because you're not going to give him a place where he could grow. So Chris and I were discussing about COVID, whether or not you can get it once or twice, because I've already had it once. When you think about what a vaccine is, at least they say for 3 months that you can't get it. So let's just go there and say based on that 3 months you can't get it. Well, so if the virus were to come by my way and enter my body, just because you have a vaccine doesn't mean the virus isn't going to enter your body. But when it enters your body, it's going to be met with a resistance. And that resistance is going to be so strong that it can no longer take up residence in your body, and it has to go. Right? That's the whole idea of a vaccine. Can I tell you something? That's the whole idea of walking in the Spirit. It's getting a place. If that virus were to come into my body now, after the fact it's not been 3 months and I'm still got that immunity, it's going to come in, it's going to go in and out, and it's going to move on. I'm not going to get sick because it's not conducive for that to grow. What if we did that with the works of the Spirit? What if all of us created an atmosphere of walking after God that an evil spirit has to move on because there's no rest in that place? He can't influence, he's not welcomed, and you shut him out. That is possible. We can do that Because where he lives in our fears, he lives in our, that evil influence shows up every time that I don't trust God. It shows up in every time that I doubt. It shows up every time that I get angry. When you go home, can you have a fight on Sunday after you've been in church? Yes. Very absolutely possible. You can have a terrible family day after being in the house of the Lord. No question. That can happen. You can leave here singing about Jesus and 2 hours later go, what in the world happened? Do you know why? Because they're out there and they want to influence and they want to tear down and destroy anything that's of God. And if you let that influence in there, they'll take root. But what about when he comes by? Listen, if I let God down this week, it's because I allowed a spot in my heart where he can grow, where the spirit of the enemy can take that influence and it begins to grow. Even though I'm saved, I can still bear fruit of being in the dark. Absolutely, you can. But if the ground can't take that seed, if that ground is not conducive for that to grow, it can't take root. And that's where you have to come in and make sure you're not under that influence. You got to make sure that you're not listening. If God can talk to you, then the devil can talk to you. If God can influence you, then the devil can influence you. If the Bible can influence you, then the world can influence you. If a good friend can influence you, then a bad friend can influence you. If good music can influence you, then bad music can influence you. Okay? If the world can do it, God can do it. And if God can do it, the world can do it. You got to determine whose influence you're under. And if you're under the right influence, he's got to move on. Why waste his time? Nothing will grow in there. He's going to go until he finds a place where he can rest. And when he does, he's going to take up shop. And what you don't want is seven more coming. Right? But may I tell you something? Let's say Chris makes a little vacancy. He lets a little anger in. All of a sudden, the anger spirit goes out and says, hey, you got booted from your last place, right? Come on over to Chris. That ground, he let me in. And my influence has taken root a little bit. Maybe he's got some room for some bitterness. Maybe he's got some room for some lust. You know, hey, he let my influence take root. Maybe he'll let that influence take root. Because, guys, what goes on in our life, what you see about me and what I see about you is bigger than just me and you. It has to do with the influence that you're under. And there is an evil out there that hates God, and he is going to try to influence me and you every time he can. But you don't have to listen to him. You can tell him no. Just like the rich young ruler that day told Jesus, no. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, sell all you have, give to the poor. And the guy said, can't do that. And when he said that, Jesus said he was sad because he loved him. That guy was under the direct influence of the gospel in the flesh. And he shut the door. Now, if you got a problem with that, you're going to have to go back to that story because I didn't write it. But Jesus told him what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And he said he couldn't do it. He went away because he had too much wealth. So he went away having rejected the influence of Jesus right there. Now, wouldn't that be awesome if we worked it in reverse? Because wouldn't it be great if in our lives this week we quit producing the fruits of the flesh and only let the fruits of the Spirit grow? Wouldn't it be great if we this week made it so that if an evil spirit was looking for some place to influence, he'd have to go to the next person because he wouldn't find a place to rest in your life. Because you're going to tell him no. You're going to tell him, hey, I've already given my heart to Christ. I don't want that. Because you can. Now, to say that I have always produced the fruits of the Spirit would be lying to you. But when I read that, I thought to myself, I got to remember that. That's why I shared it with you this morning. I got to remember that. If you go home and you get angry, you know anger is a sin. At that moment, you are not producing the fruits of the Spirit. You are producing the fruits of darkness at that moment. And the only way that can happen is if you let him in. And that's our fault. Okay? Same way with lust, same way with bitterness, same way with doubt, same way with fear, same way with all of those, same way. You know, that's really the basis of how anxiety and all of that stuff works. If you let that take root, you can stand at that door and say no. You can make sure you're not putting those influences in your life, and you can keep them out. You can do that. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that. If they come in, then you've allowed that influence to find rest. What if they just got to move on? So here's the point, and I'm done. Let's give them no place to rest. You know what you might need to do? You might need to evict some of them right now. Yeah, you might need to hand them an envelope and say, effective immediately, you got to move. You got to get out of here. You're not welcomed another day. You got to go. Because I don't want that influence here anymore. You might have to do some eviction. You might have to serve some part of your life an eviction notice right now and say, no more. You got to go. Now he's a free agent, right? You're going to look someplace to go. So I'm just going to pick on Sean. Let's say Sean does that this morning. Sean says, okay. All right, spirit of doubt, you got to go. Well, now, spirit of doubt, he's got to find someplace to go. He's going to come over to Mike and say, well, that's the closest target. Mike, in a room in here? Mike, no vacancy. On down to Chris, no vacancy. Well, if Dave hasn't done that, Dave's not got his guard. He'll say, whoa. Hey, he tolerated that a little bit. Foo. And it slides. I would just like to do my best to say, not here. You know what? He may, that spirit of darkness that's out there, those influences that are out there, they may come, but don't let them take up root. And when they're there, notice it and get them out of there. You know what? He may have to spend the afternoon, but he doesn't have to spend the day. All right? He might be here for the day, but you don't have to make it a week. And he may be around for a week, but you don't have to make it a month. And he may have been around for a month, but you don't have to make it a year. And he may have been in your, there may be an influence in your heart for a year, but he don't have to be there for eternity. Listen, evict him. Tell him no more. No more influence from evil. No more. No rest here. When you come in, I'm chasing you out of here. Because I want to live for the Lord. May I tell you something? If you do not believe that those spirits are out there moving and then during this time, you're crazy. They're on the loose because the ground of uncertainty is out there. Don't let them find any rest. If you'd stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you'd have a time of invitation this morning. And I've asked Heather if she'd come. She's going to sing a song for the invitation this morning right before she starts. You know, when I read that story about Jesus talking about those demons, and I know he was using it to explain how Nineveh was going to be, that these people are going to be judged more than Nineveh. Then he told this very interesting story. When I read that story, I just thought, that is so, being able to look in that window is so neat. Here this demon is, he's He left the person he was in, and he's trying to find some place to rest. And he couldn't, so he went back, and I just thought, how many times have I given the fruits of this flesh some place to land? How many times have I done that? How many times have I let them in? And I don't have to. I can tell them, hey, you got to go to the next person. Not here. I mean, they might even get in the door for a little bit, but don't let them spend the day. You know what we need to do? We might need to take that eviction notice to one of those today, and to an area in your life, and say, hey, effective immediately, you got to go. There's no room for you in here because I want to follow the Lord. And listen, if you're here and you're not saved, then you've got to start there. And the God of heaven loves you and cares about you and wants you to spend eternity with him. And he died, his son died on that cross, so you can do that. And listen, I tell you, at the day that people get saved, believe me, there is a battle. I've seen people during an invitation hold on to a pew until their knuckles turn white because there's a battle inside. You know what? All you got to do is let go and trust Christ, and the battle ends. But wouldn't it be great if we just started here today? What if everybody in this room said, I want to provide, I want to be that kind of person where there's that spirit has to move on because there's no place to rest. He's not wanted. And you only can do that by yielding to the Spirit. Jesus cleansed the temple, and sometimes in this temple that he lives in today, we need to do some cleaning. Clean it out, and then put a no vacancy sign out front. If God spoke to your heart this morning, the altar's open as Heather sings. You know, something to remember, a demon can't possess a Christian, but he can influence. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Let them find no place to plant that seed. No vacancy here. Man, I tell you what, we can do that, guys. Now we produce an atmosphere in a place where the Spirit can start to sow its seeds. And they've got room to grow. And wouldn't it be great to be around a whole bunch of people next week that are producing the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace? You know, that's a good thing. And you know what? We are not powerless against the enemy. Man. Now, you can tell him no. Because you got your Father standing behind you. He ain't messing with him, right? Brother Lloyd, close this in prayer.